goodness.
Come on, testify.
Testify.
If God's been good to you,
tell him his goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
Can I get a witness?
Tell him his goodness.
Get up.
Get up. Testify.
Somebody shout glory.
Tell him his goodness.
Get up.
Get up. Testify.
Get up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with you. Brother Jeremiah's here as well. Are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good deal. Glad we could be here with you tonight. Don't know where the show's going to go this evening, but looking forward to it. Before we get started, as always, our housekeeping matters. I want to remind you of our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. Then follow up with that. Check us out on Facebook at The Pulpit. Follow us on there. We try to keep that pretty up to date. If you go on our website, you'll see all the places you can listen, follow along, the whole nine yards. We're also on TikTok now, which is pretty fun. I've enjoyed trying to set that up. But I won't say too much. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Brother Jeremiah. Let him cut loose and see where he wants to go and what he wants to do.
Well, thank you, Austin. I appreciate that. I thank all of our listeners for listening. I don't know where you're listening at now, but hopefully it's on one of our many platforms that we're now being able to listen on. Or did you want me to go ahead, or do you have something, Austin?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to thank all of y'all for listening and supporting us. I do have a little bit of something on my heart for a couple days here. My wife, Sarah, couldn't be with us tonight. She was actually going to a service tonight. And we always miss her when she's not on here. We had such a good time with her the other night when she was on the podcast. I felt like we had an awesome episode. I think all of them are awesome, in my personal opinion. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us in this ministry, because that's what it is. It is a ministry. It's unscripted because we do what the Spirit leads us to do. And back to my wife, when I first started preaching, she would tell me, she said, "You need a title. You need a title. You need a title." For a lot of messages, I didn't title them. But then, you know, a title just kind of strung out to me. So the title for this tonight's message is Shame on You. Shame on You. Now, you probably listening, you're thinking, "Well, Lord, what did I do?" But just hold on. Listen, just listen to me for just a few minutes here. And I promise not to take up too much time, but I felt like this needed to be visited tonight, because I feel like we hold a standard to each other that supersedes what God's standard is for us. We talked about this a little on the last episode, how, you know, to get saved, you don't have to get clean. You don't have to get off the drugs or off the alcohol or stop doing the things that you're doing, because Jesus is the one that cleans us. He's the one that gives us purpose. And this message kind of goes into that. But if you're not familiar, what I'm going to be talking about tonight is David. And I love David. Because I feel like, for me, and many others also, is that David, in the Bible, had such a heart for God. He had such a love for you. And growing up, we were always told this story about King David and how he was this great king and how he did all these things. Where I'm going to be reading tonight is in Psalms 51. And if you don't know what Psalms 51 is, that's okay. That Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance by David. Now, if you're not familiar, you can read this in 2 Samuel, I believe it is. 2 Samuel goes into what went on. And I'll just give you a basic rundown. You can go read this for yourself. But King David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And when he committed adultery, he then had her husband, Uriah, killed. And David did marry Bathsheba, the woman that he committed adultery with. And Psalms 51 is David coming back to God and saying, and then I'll get into it, but Psalms 51, 1 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 3 says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." Verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence," verse 11, "and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. Do good in thy Jerusalem, do good in thy good pleasure and design, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar." So after reading this, David has a chance to talk to God. He had God's ear. And he's acknowledging where he went wrong. And he's asking God to renew his spirit within him. See, we are very quick to judge. If we see another one of our people out from church or whatever, and they're not acting exactly the way we think we should be acting, we're harder on them than God would be on them. God wants us to come to him and say, "Hey, I know what I've done wrong. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to renew those feelings that I had before for you in my heart," because that's where it starts. And I was thinking about this last night whenever I was reading this. I was thinking about how much the devil fights us Christians. I was thinking about how God has our heart. When we ask him to come into our heart and save us, we're asking from our heart. Now, the devil likes to play tricks on your mind to try and take your heart away from God. That's a very real thing. And he does it. He does it in ways that we just don't, we don't expect. He's always changing. He's always changing his moves. He's always doing things that are different, but it's the same thing. See, when you ask God to come into your life and he comes and dwells in your heart, that doesn't mean that the devil's just going to stop fighting. It doesn't mean that he's just, that everything from now on is going to be sunshine and rainbows. Granted, there are times when it feels like that, but it's not meant to last. We're not meant to last on this earth. One day, there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back. And when that day comes, every knee will bow. And those that have lived for him will die and go into heaven. But see, David in this whole psalm, he's going through all the motions, but he's actually putting, it's more than just him saying it. He's doing it too, because he knows that he done wrong. He knows that he did wrong. He tried to cover up his adultery by killing the woman's husband that he had adultery with. And then he went and married her thinking that would make it okay. But none of it was okay. And he knew in his heart that it wasn't okay. So he came to God and he was like, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, rescue me from my sin, because I know that I've done wrong. I know that you have loving kindness towards me, but I have to confess. I have to confess out of my mouth, out of my heart. I have to take what I have sown, and I have to confess that out of my mouth to him before he can wash me and cleanse me from my sin. And you know, in verse 4 it says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He knew that he did it, and it was wrong. And even in verse 6, and that's where I point out the heart portion, is because whenever God comes into your heart, he knows when you're going to say something. He knows whenever you're stepping out and doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. He knows it. But he desires truth not only out of your mouth, but also in your mind, to know that is the most inward part of you. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Because he knows God has the power to do that. Now, Austin, and I was thinking this. There was a Bible verse, and hold on just a second. I promise, I'm getting there. Hold on just a second. There is a Bible verse. That talks about. Let's see here. Whenever Jesus is talking to Peter, and I believe it's in Matthew. Yes, it is in Matthew. Hold on just a second. In Matthew, chapter 18. And in Matthew 18, and you know, I'm kind of bouncing around here, but I promise, just stick with me. But in Matthew 18, 21, and I'm not going to read all of them, but it's 21 through 35 is the passage. And Matthew 18, starting with verse 21, says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And it goes into a parable. And in the parable, starts in verse 23, it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had, in verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, verse 26, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And verse 27 says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant that was just forgiven of that debt went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But that same servant said he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. Now, I said that because I think a lot of the time, whenever we have someone that does us wrong, or somebody that, you know, goes out of their way to do us wrong, we have a hard time forgiving them. But in Scripture, God says that you should forgive that person 70 times 7, that's 490 times in a day, that you can forgive your brother for doing something against you, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, whoever, whatever. But in all this, David is coming to God, knowing what and this is a recap, but David is coming to God, and he's saying, I've done all this wrong, and I want you to cleanse me. I want you to restore me. I want you to restore my faith in you. I want you to have your faith restored in me. I want you to create me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from thy presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and hold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. I'm gonna tell people that you are a forgiven God, that you know that I'm not perfect, that I'm not always going to have the right things to say, that I'm not always going to do the right thing. I'm going to try my best to do the very best that I can, but I know I'm going to slip up. Being a Christian is not a get into heaven free pass. It's not, we're not all perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to do things wrong. But if we have the right spirit about it, to where we're like, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not going to get everything right. I know I'm not going to say everything right. But I want you to dwell in me. I want your Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I want you to pour into me so I can pour out to others. Because it's not about me. It's not about us, and this podcast is not about us. This is our ministry. We are asking from God to fill us up so we can turn around and fill others, because that is our job. That's our ultimate goal. And if you don't take anything else away from tonight's podcast, before we started this tonight, we had all kinds of issues trying to get everything working. And I just kept thinking, God, are you sure you want me to talk about this tonight? Are you sure you want me to do this tonight? Because we were having all these issues, and I was thinking, well, maybe tonight's not my night. But then things started working again. So somebody, somewhere is listening to this, and they are struggling. They're like, how in the world am I supposed to make it if Jim Bob down the road can't make it? If he can't keep from sinning, how am I supposed to make it? Well, you make it by asking God to come into your life. And he'll do the fixing. You don't have to stop drinking. You don't have to stop smoking weed. You don't have to go and change your life around to come into the church. You don't have to do that. What God is asking for you is the same thing he's asked for me, was to come to him and ask him to come into my heart, to renew my spirit within me so that I can turn around and help others. That's what David was asking. He said, I want you to renew this spirit in me, but I also am going to tell others the love that you've shown to me. Because that's how it works. Me and Austin have talked about this many times. Word of mouth is king most of the time. But word of mouth is king. Because you can find out more about somebody from another person than a lot of times the Facebook profile tell you. Because as a people, we're different amongst other people than we are at church or on Facebook. We're different. It's not always a bad thing. But David, in this situation, was asking God. He was telling him, you know, I've done this stuff wrong, but I want you to fix me. I want you to repair what's broken. And because I know you have that loving kindness in you. I know you have all that. And I'm asking you to clean me, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Deliver me. O Lord, open my lips. And God, I'm just asking you. And I know somebody, somewhere tonight, tomorrow, next week, are going to be struggling. And you're wanting to know, how do I do it? How do I get back to where I started? It's easy. We make it hard. We say, oh, well, I got to do this. Or I got to call this person. No, you don't have to do all that. What God's asking you to do is to come to him. Let him take care of it. And if you don't feel like you can reach him by yourself, that's the whole reason why we have a phone number, folks. We have a phone number so you can call us. You can text us. You can send us an email. We have a contact us page for a reason. We don't want to just get on here and talk. Because that's not what this is about. We want to help you. So if you don't feel like you can get to that point where you need to get in contact with the Lord and you don't feel like you can do it, you can call us. We're right here. There's no reason to worry about it, to stress yourself out about it. Because God has given this whole Bible of situations and passages to get you back on the right track. You just got to know where to look. And if you don't know where to look, pray about it. God will give you anything that you ask for. Now, I want to preface that by saying that when you ask God of something, He may not give it to you right away. But God has never failed me. He's never done me wrong. He's never went on vacation. He's never done any of those things. Anytime I've asked the Lord for something, He has given it to me. And we talked last episode about me and Sarah and our love meet story. And I know Austin was gagging the whole time. But I asked God to send me a godly woman. I asked God to repair that part in my heart. And you know what He did? He fixed me. He fixed that part of my heart so I could love somebody else again. There's never been a time that I've asked Him for something that He hasn't delivered. And folks, there are countless people that I have spoken to or talked to about the love of God, and they've never, not once, said that God's ever let me down. So folks, if you're out there and you're struggling and you're trying every day to make it, and you don't know where you stand, my suggestion to you is to find yourself an altar. And you might be saying, "Preacher, what kind of altar does it need to be?" It don't have to be nothing. It needs to be somewhere where you can be with God one on one, whether it's at work, whether it's at home in your prayer closet. You need to find somewhere where you can be one-on-one with God. Do I need music? You might need music. And if I may make a suggestion, the McCameys has a lovely album. They have all kinds of them. You can get on YouTube and type any Christian song you want to, and they'll bring it right up on your phone. Somewhere where you can be one-on-one with God, because that should be your number one priority. If you want to get in church, or if you want to get your family in church, there needs to be a one-on-one relationship with you and God. That's the only way it's going to happen. You have to get yourself in the presence of the Lord, and He's going to direct your path. And if you don't take anything else from this message tonight, and if you just don't take anything else from it tonight, you could be a king and still need God. You can be the president of the United States and still need God. Because we can only do so much. Me and Austin, we can preach to you. We can pray with you. We can do everything in our power to get you ready. But I can't take you there. It's not something I can do. That's something you have to do. And if you're not saved, you can reach out to us. We'll gladly pray with you. We'll gladly pray with you. We'll go above and beyond for you, because that's what somebody had to do for us. They had to get us. They could push us to where we needed to go, but they couldn't drive us there. Because that's not a drive that we can make. That's something that you have to do. That's a one-on-one phone call with the man upstairs. There you go, Austin.
Hey, you made some good points there. I couldn't follow up with anything worth anything that would amount to what you had to say there. Y'all, I was brought up old school. I was brought up backwoods, whatever you want to call it. And when your palms get sweaty and your goosebumps start to cause the hair to stand up on the back of your neck, it doesn't mean anything more when you hear something like what Brother Jeremiah just said, what he read to you and shared with you. Them goosebumps you got, them sweaty palms, and that fast racing heart. That ain't a medical condition. That isn't something that has to do with your comfort. That has everything to do with the Spirit of God talking to you. I was brought up in a church.
That's right.
Where when you heard something so good like that right there, you could tell it because the altars would start to be filled. Brother Jeremiah mentioned a part there towards the end about get some alone time with God. And I've already listened to this song a couple times today. I love this song, and he mentioned the group as well. And we're going to play this song. It's 2 minutes and 53 seconds. I'm going to let this song play, and while it plays, I want you to think about the things that Jeremiah shared with you in the scripture that he shared. And listen to the lyrics of these songs, of this particular song, and mash everything up. And apply it to your situation and your life, and open your ears. Open your mind, open your heart. It might be the night that the Lord's speaking to you. And if while you're listening to this, you've got the sensation to find out who this man named Jesus is, it could be 6 months after we post this. Pick the phone up and give us a call.
Many times why the Lord saved me, why He would grant me repentance and faith to believe. I wondered why He reached down so low for just one old sinner. Well, I suppose He must have seen something no one else could see. He must have seen something worth saving. That day He reached down and forgave me. He must have known how happy this wretched old sinner would be. And though I feel I'll never be worthy, my God is real and so is His mercy. Something worth saving when He saved me. Not one single day goes by that I don't fail Him. But I'm so glad that He's faithful and just to forgive. And there's no way that I can hope to ever repay Him. So I'll just keep singing His praises as long as He lets me live. He must have seen something worth saving. That day He reached down and forgave me. He must have known how happy this wretched old sinner would be. And though I feel I'll never be worthy, my God is real and so is His mercy. He must have seen something worth saving when He saved me.
There's definitely something worth saving. No matter how bad you are, how good you are, how indifferent you are, the good news of the gospel is simply this. that Christ went to a cross and died, and on the third day he rose again. He done all that for you and me. He done all that not because he knew all the stuff about us, because he knew the sinners that we would be and the people that we would be. But he done it just because he loved us. He cared for us enough to go to Calvary. He cared for us enough to be beat and bruised and bloodied up. He cared for you enough that you might simply give your life to him. He knew that the alcoholic was going to be an alcoholic. He knew that the drug dealer was going to be on drugs. He knew that the prostitute was going to be a prostitute. He knew that the liar was going to be a liar. He knew that the filthy-mouthed individual was going to be a filthy-mouthed individual. He knew that the murderer was going to be the murderer. He knew all them things. But he still done what he done. He still loved you enough to send his only begotten son to Calvary to die on a cross, and 3 days later rise again, giving you hope of eternal life. It's simple. Simple salvation. Romans says that the book of Romans says that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe. It's that simple. I would urge you tonight, today, this morning, whatever time of day that you're listening, I would strongly urge you to sit back and consider the matter of salvation. We thank you all for listening. We hope something that we've said or done has been a blessing to you. We hope that you'll strongly take the words of encouragement that Jeremiah shared with you tonight. Apply them to your life and consider the idea that there's something worth saving. And consider the major ordeal of salvation. If you have an opportunity, don't forget to check us out at our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com, or on Facebook at The Pulpit. Everything on there is logoed, so we're not hard to find. We use the same thing for everything. We're also on TikTok. You can listen to these podcasts across multiple platforms, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon, and many other places. I actually found out today that I got a pair of the Ray-Ban Meta Wayfair glasses. I can simply say, hey, Meta, play the Unscripted Pulpit, and it starts playing. So, blessed for that. But you can listen multiple places. Share with a friend. Tell somebody you know. Check us out. We would love, 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 love nothing more than to be able to plant the seed again with somebody else. Don't just tell you Christian friends. Tell you sinner ones as well. We love them just the same. One thing my mommy always said is that Jesus loved the sinner and hated the sin. Now, we're the same way. We love everybody. We might not agree with you, but we'd love to have you as a listener. If you want to be on the show, reach out to us. We would love to have some call-ins. We had a couple the other night, looking to have a couple more. Hopefully on the next episode, we'll have Sister Sarah back with us. But we are so thankful you all listened with us today. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you're listening at. We greatly appreciate you all. And as always,
tell him his goodness.
Tell him his goodness.
Come on, testify.
Testify.
If God's been good to you,
tell him his goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
Can I get a